Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity to learn Lilo Nishmat, your father, Yosef Yoel Ben Chaim. It's nice to be reunited with some of my old learning partners. For a long period of time, many of us used to learn at Esther Friedman's house, and it's really nice to come back together in preparation for Shavuos, and to try to prepare ourselves in those final days as we prepare for Shavuos Haba Aleinu Letova. If you take a look in source number one, the Torah in Parshas Amor prescribes for us a seven-week count. A seven-week count that we're coming to the end of. Today is the 46th day of the Omer, if I'm not mistaken. And the Torah tells us, Usvartem lachem imacharas ha-Shabbos. We begin the count from the day after Shabbos. Now Shabbos, of course, in this context, does not mean Shabbat in the traditional sense. It means from the day after Yom Tov, after the day after Pesach, the second day of Pesach, we begin the count of Sfiras Omer. Miyom haviyachem es Omer ha-Tenufa. And that process begins with the bringing of the carbon Omer, an offering of barley. Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tiyah. Now we count a period of 7 complete weeks. Ad Mimachas HaShabbos HaShviyas, when we complete those 7 weeks, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, we've counted up to day number 50, and we bring another offering, Bikraftem Mincha Chadash Al Hashem. We bring an additional carbon to Hashem. Now, as much as our brains, when we think about Shavuos, we think about Kabbalas HaTorah, we think about the Yom Tov of receiving the Torah, and that's certainly a big part of the celebration. The Torah doesn't mention anything about that. The Torah is describing a celebration. Shavuos is also known as Chag HaKatzir, the time of the harvest. Shavuos is known as Yom HaBikurim, again, the time of the offering of the first fruits. Classically, the Torah is describing a karban that is brought in a celebration, a Yom Tov, that celebrates a certain reality that's taking place in our fields. But of course, again, for all of us, we think of Shavuos in terms of Matan Torah, the time that the Jewish people receive the Torah, and especially in light of the fact that we don't have these karbanos today. We don't have the karban that begins the Sefirah process, and we don't have the karban that concludes the Sefirah process. If you look in the second source, there's a medrash that's quoted by the Ran. The Ran is Rabbeinu Nisim, lived in the 1300s, one of the great Rishonim, wrote extensively on the Shas, on Gemara. And at the end of Maseches Pesachim, he quotes a medrash in this regard. He says, "Ubahagada gam kein amru," in source number 2. "Bisha sha'amar lahem Moshe, ta'avdunas elokim al ahar hazeh." We know from Shmos Perek Gimel, Hashem told the Jewish people, when you leave Mitzrayim, he told Moshe, relate to the Jewish people, when are you going to be freed from Mitzrayim? Tavdunas elokim al ahar hazeh, when you come to serve God on this very mountain. So Moshe relayed the message to the Jewish people, that God is taking us out, and we're going to go and serve Him on a mountain. So the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and there was no mountain. So they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amru lo Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eimasai avodazo, when is this actually going to take place? You promised us that the completion of Yitzias Mitzrayim will be the serving of God on a particular mountain. When's that supposed to happen? Amar lam l'sof chamishim yom. And Moshe, as this medrash reveals to us, quoted again here by the Ran in Maseches Pesachim, at the end of 50 days, that's when we're going to arrive at the mountain. V'ayumonin kol echad v'echad atzmo. So every Jew began a count. He began to count for himself, counting those days, the 50 days, towards Kabbalas HaTorah. Mikan kavu chacham l'sfiras ha'omer. From here, the rabbis established the concept of Sfiras HaOmer, Klomar. Bizman hazeh she'ein anu mevi'im karbon. Today, when we don't have the karbanos. Again, the Torah doesn't speak about Kabbalas HaTorah in the context of Shavuos. The Torah speaks about karbanos that are offered in celebration of the crops. Says the Ran, explaining again this medrash, that bizman hazeh, when we don't have the karbanos, velo omer, right, we don't have the karban that concludes the process, we don't have the omer that begins the process, el mechashvin nun yom l'simchas haTorah, we today are counting 50 days primarily to focus on the celebration of Torah, the reacceptance of Torah, k'mo shemanu Yisrael ba'oso zman. And the Ran goes on in his commentary, says, the truth is, even today, the Sfiras HaOmer is really to remind us, it's a zecher l'mikdash, to remind us what it once was in the Beis HaMikdash. But again, his words certainly resonate with us, that these are days we can't necessarily relate to the karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. We think of these days as the counting towards Kabbalas HaTorah, a new opportunity to receive the Torah, and to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah once again. Now, there's a very well-known question that the Svarim asked. The Sefer HaChinuch is one of the early sources to deal with this question. And that is, when we count Sfiras HaOmer, we count up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? And 7 days, which is 1 week. And we go continuing along that pattern of counting upwards towards 50. And the question that the Sefer HaChinuch and so many other Svarim raise is that, why do we count up towards Shavuos? You know, normally when we're looking forward to something, we're trying to reach a certain event, so we count down the days. 10 days to go until you know, that vacation or whatever it is that you're looking forward to. 9 days to go, 8 days to go, 5 days to go, counting down the days, little by little, hoping to come to whatever it is that we're looking forward to. Why is Sefiras HaOmer different? It's a strange type of counting. We know how many days we're counting from the beginning. So why not set the clock at 49 and count down the days, tick off the days until we get to Kabbalah Satar. So I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, this year is a little bit late to start asking this question on the 46th day of the Omer. So I want to remind us that even if we are just, you know, beginning to think about this question, it's really not too late. It's really not too late to capture the entirety of the feeling that we're hopefully trying to tap into during the days of Sefiras HaOmer. There's a beautiful comment from the Kuznets or Magid, Rabbi Yisrael of Kuznets. He wrote a work called the Avodas Yisrael. And in source number 3, explains the psukim that we read a moment ago very beautifully. He says, Ad mimachras ha-shabas ha-shviyas, tisbru chamishim yom. Until you come to the end of 7 weeks, you should count 50 days. Ratzal Omer. Kishulo asa tshuva. Let's imagine we've been uninspired till this point in Sefiras HaOmer. I haven't really thought about it much. Right? First of all, many women don't even have the practice of counting. Some do. But I'm sure, you know, there's a sense of Sefiras HaOmer kind of passed us by, and I haven't necessarily taken the time to necessarily think about the opportunity that's being presented to us. And even if we have, there's always more that we could have done. So he writes, Kishalo asa tshuva. If we haven't had a spiritual awakening, V'lo heyir es atzmo, take up b'tchila Sefiras HaOmer. If we've missed out, so to speak, on the first 46 days of the Omer, al yomer she'ein li o tikva. A person shouldn't say, there's no hope, better luck next year, we'll wait till Sefiras HaOmer rolls around once again. Rather, what does the Torah tell us? Ad mimachras hashabas hashviyas tispru. Until you get to the 7th week, tispru. Now tispru means to count, but that word sapir also means to illuminate. It means to illuminate, something that is radiant. And therefore, until you come to the end of 7 weeks, tispru, it's still possible to illuminate this entire period, to find meaning in this entire tkufa, this entire stretch of time. What's a lomer? Kolzman sheyesh afilu yom echad me'asvira tispru. As long as there's even a moment left of Sefiras HaOmer, we can internalize hopefully the entirety of the Sefiras HaOmer, Ratzal Omer, Tuchel Laheir, he says Laheir, to illuminate, Vayom Zeh, Kola Chamishim Yom Al Yedei Tshuva. Tisperu Chamishim Yom. That Ad Mimachras HaShabbos HaShviyas, until you get to the end of the 7 weeks, it's not too late, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, to internalize the message that we're going to share today. But I think more importantly, whether or not we're able to fully connect to this past year's Sefira, and to come to Shavuos in the right way, what we're going to try to do today is share an idea, a couple of ideas, some lessons that we learned from the upward count, which are really life lessons. That it's not something that we only bring to Shavuos. We certainly bring it to Shavuos, and we certainly think about it and reflect on it during the days of Sefiras HaOmer. But the goal is to take the lessons that we're going to share now in answering this question and try to inculcate it into our lives. Something that we live with on a daily basis. Not something that we just bring to Shavuos and then the idea, so to speak, drifts away. So why do we count up? Why do we count up? Very interesting question. So, to answer the question, we have to really ask ourselves, what's the goal of the count? What are we trying to accomplish by counting these days? So some would say that the goal of Sefiras HaOmer is simply to get there. We want to get to Shavuos. We want to get to Kabbalah Satora. For whatever reason, Kabbalah Satora is set at a distance of 50 days, and we simply want to get there. If you look in the B'nai Yisasar, we have Tzvi Eli Melech of Dinah, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, several hundred years ago. So he writes in his beautiful essays on Chodesh Nisan, he says, why don't we make a bracha of Shechiyanu when we begin the Sefiras HaOmer count? The first night of Sefira, you're beginning a new mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that comes around once a year for a period of time. Why don't we introduce the same way you pick up a lulav the first time, you make Shechiyanu? The same way you eat matzah? You sit in a sukkah? Right? When you have a mitzvah that comes around once in a while, on the night of the Seder, you say Kiddush, you say Shechiyanu, you introduce the Yom Tov with the Shechiyanu. So why is this mitzvah not blessed with the bracha of Shechiyanu? Writes the B'nai Yisasra in source number 4, Sha'al Kain, where it's bolded, Sha'al Kain ein mevarchen Shechiyanu al mitzvah sasvira, ki ein atshuka al hayamim hanispar. Because the days that we're counting, we're not really interested in the days that we're counted. We're more or less passing the time. What are our eyes set on? We're set on getting to day 50. We want to come to Kabbalah Sator. That's what we're excited about. We're not interested in the days that we're counting per se. Right now is not such a celebration as you begin Sefiras HaOmer. The celebration will be in 50 days from now. And on Shavuos, we will, in fact, recite the bracha of Shechiyanu at the completion of the process. Yom she'achar yemei Sefira. When the Sefira is over, oz mevarchen Shechiyanu. Excuse me. Yeah, please, if it's okay. Thank you. Oz mevarchen Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh. When you get to the end of that 7-week period, then we say, oh, now we're finally there. That's what it's about. We want to get there. We're not really interested in necessarily each and every day. We're only interested in getting to that desirable day, the day that God interacts with humanity and offers the Jewish people his Torah. And therefore, each day is not so significant. Day one is not so interesting to me. Day two is not that interesting to me. I kind of just want to pass the time. I want to get to sort of that end goal. And the truth is, it's a very important aspect of the Sefirah. There should be a certain excitement that I just want to get there already. Hashem is presenting you with this opportunity to interact with him, to receive his Torah and mitzvos. That's an unbelievable thing. A unification of heaven and earth, that's something we just want to be there already. We're burdened by the process. And the lack of Shechianu is an expression of feeling frustrated by the process. But Asasper goes on and he explains, that's what it means, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiena, that we view these weeks as Sheva Shabbosos, 7 weeks which are Tamimos, which are whole and complete. It's really just one unit. It's not that day one and day two and day three are all different expressions that we're trying to tap into. It's basically this one period of time that we wish we could just push behind us and get to our Sinai and get to that great day of Kabbalah Satorah. But if that's the goal, if that's really the goal, so then why don't we count down days? Right, if we're just trying to tick away these days, sort of pass the time, so let's set the clock at 49 days, and let's pass the time till we hit zero, and then we're there. Counting ups seems to express something a little bit different, and it's not only about reaching that end goal. It's that each day is somehow significant. That I'm noting the days, it's not just the passage of time. Again, that's also important. There should be a feeling of wanting to just pass the time and come to that lofty day of Shavuos, that acceptance of the Torah. But what are we to learn from the upward count? I don't think the B'nai Yisrael's answer fully answers the question. So I want to begin with the following lesson that I think we can take from the upward count. And that is that in life, very often, when we have a goal, we become very obsessed with the goal to the point that we fail to appreciate the process along the way. That the idea of counting upwards in Sefiras Omer, not to say Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiena, like the B'nai Yisrael is saying, where it's sort of this one unit of time that we want to throw over our shoulder and just move past. But to recognize that day one and day two and day three are each a unique opportunity. If you look in the Siddurim, they describe the various midos that we're working on. Chesed Shebechesed, Gvura Shebechesed. These are different attributes of God's expression in this world, and the different attributes of our own souls. And we're trying to refine different, each day is a totally different avoda. It's a different aspect of connection to God. It's not like counting down the days to a vacation, where again, I just want to get there already. And all the days leading up to it are sort of an impediment. They're just blocking me from getting to where I want to be. But the notion of counting upwards by Sefiras HaOmer is Hashem wants us to recognize the efforts made along the way. That day one is significant, and day two is significant, and day three is significant. And of course the celebration will reach its peak when we get there on day 50. But that's not to say that day one is a burden to me, or day two is a burden to me. Each day is a unique opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way. The effort is very significant. Hashem doesn't want us to gloss over that. He doesn't want that to be something that we sort of just pass over without taking to heart, without stopping to recognize the significance of those efforts along the way. This past Shabbos, we read Parshas B'chukosai. How does Parshas B'chukosai begin? In source number 5, in B'chukosai Teilechu, v'es mitzvosai tishmeru, v'asisam osam. In B'chukosai Teilechu, if in the chukim, Teilechu. If you walk in the ways of the chukim, and the mitzvos you guard, v'asisam osam, and you perform them. Says Rashi, what's the chukosai versus mitzvosai? Explains Rashi in source number 6, in b'chukosai teilechu, yachol zekiyam ha-mitzvos. Maybe to walk in the ways of Hashem's chukim means to perform the mitzvos. Says Rashi, that's the continuation of the pasuk. Kishu omer, v'etz mitzvosai tishmoru, harei kiyam ha-mitzvos amur. That already tells us that we have to keep the mitzvah. So what's in b'chukosai teilechu? What additional aspect in the service of God is being mentioned in those three words? Im b'chukosai teilechu. It's different than etz mitzvosai tishmoru. Says Rashi, ha'ma ani mekayim im b'chukosai teilechu. What are we to learn from b'chukosai teilechu? Shetu amelim b'torah. That a Jew should be diligent in Torah. Not only to perform the mitzvahs, but there's a certain diligence. A lot of effort has to go into Torah. And generally we understand this Rashi to mean diligence specifically in Torah study. In the study of Torah. Not only the performance of mitzvahs, but the study of Torah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro.
Amen.
Okay, so imagine a person is very diligent in Torah. A person sets a goal for himself or herself. You complete a portion of learning. Right, just this week, I had the opportunity to be a part of Yeshiva Seichel HaTorah, made an entire Siyam HaShas, a community-wide Siyam HaShas, and they honored Rav Shechter Shlita with the opportunity to recite the Hadron at the end. What do we say when we complete a portion of learning? What is this tefillah of the Hadron? Take a look in source number 7. We thank Hashem for the opportunity to learn. It's a great gift. Modim anachnu lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shesamta chalkeinu miyoshei beis hamedrash, velo samta chalkeinu miyoshei karanos. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us a meaningful type of work in this world, that we're able to be members of the beis hamedrash, to be members of the shul, to be members of houses of learning, and that we don't end up like those people who whittle away their time on the street corners. Sha'anu mashkimim vehem mashkimim. We wake up early, and many people of the world wake up early as well. We wake up early to go to a shir. We wake up early to go to davening. We wake up early to attend a bris of a family member or a friend. Right? We get up early to serve God. And at the same time, at that early hour, there are many people also waking up to engage in all sorts of mundane pursuits. How lucky we are that we have something more meaningful to be oseken. We work hard, and the world also, the nations of the world, they also work hard. Anu amelim umekablim sachar. We work diligently and we receive great reward. Vehem amelim ve'enu mekablim sachar. And they work diligently, but they don't receive reward. Says the Chafetz Chaim in his writings on Chumash, that's not true. That's not true. That person who's up early, who stays late in his office, and he's billing, you know, hours, he's making quite a salary. He's mekabel sachar. He's being rewarded for his work. It's not that he's working for free. So what does it mean when we say that we work diligently and we receive reward? And they don't receive reward. You want to tell me it's a different type of reward? It's a spiritual reward versus a reward of financial reward in this world? Okay. But the Chafetz Chaim sees something deeper. He says the key to understanding this phrase is the word amelim. Amelim means the effort. The effort that goes in. The diligence. Not the finished product. Not what did you accomplish. See, a person could sit, you can come to this year. I hope it'll be clear. I hope you walk away with many nice new ideas. But you could also walk out of this room saying, I have no idea what that guy was talking about for the last 45 minutes. And guess what? You'll get to the Olam Emes after 120 years, and you'll be rewarded for taking time out of your day to study Torah. And you'll say, but Hashem, I don't remember anything from that year. And Hashem will say, Anu Amelim. Anu Amelim, you made an effort. You engaged in the process of Torah study, and you deserve to be rewarded for that alone. See, by the nations of the world, it doesn't quite work like that. Right? If a person is given a client, is given a task, and he doesn't complete the task, right? So he's not going to feel so comfortable going to his boss and saying, listen, I know you asked me to do X, Y, or Z. I failed to do so, but I'd still like to be paid. Right? So let's see some results. Let's see the finished product. Let's see what you accomplished. And that's the thing that sets Torah apart. That Anu Amel, the process, the effort that's made along the way, is also significant. It's not only about end results. That's what separates us from the nations of the world. Anu amelim b'kavim schar. Hashem says, for your efforts in spirituality, for your efforts in ruchnias, you deserve a reward. V'heim amelim. And yet by the nations of the world, the effort, you don't get an additional reward for the effort. You get paid based on the results that a person achieves in this world. There was a great mashkiach by the name of Gad Eisner. Gad Eisner was a Holocaust survivor. Really magnificent story about how he survived the war. It's written up as a beautiful Hebrew book that tells his story. He became a mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. He was a ger chassid. He became mashkiach, one of the ger yeshivas that was in Tel Aviv at the time. And in one of his volumes of writing, called the Mesilas God, he gives the following explanation, a beautiful mashal to help us understand that the stops along the way, that the counting of Sfiras Omer, 1, 2, 3, 4, every single step along the way is entirely significant. He prefaces this mashal by saying, why is it that we refer to levels of spiritual growth as madrigos, as steps, madrigot? Why do we refer to growth in Avodas Hashem as madrigot? He says, that's our way of reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expect us in a single leap and bound to become spiritual giants. We refer to the whatever level we're on, we say that's your madriga. Meaning what? That's the step that you're standing on. And like a person climbing a staircase, or a person climbing a ladder, it's not possible for a person to leap in a single bound from the floor to the top of the ladder, to the top of the staircase. And therefore we remind ourselves, in Avodas Hashem it's the same thing. It has to be step after step after step. And every step along the way is something of significance. And he gives the following mashal in source number 8. He says, imagine you have a train. Yesh rakevet hanosad l'ir v'choka. Imagine you have a train that's traveling to a distant city. Now there are two types of trains, two types of buses, right? Different ways to travel, airplanes as well. You could take a direct flight, you could take the express bus or express train, or you could take a train that has many stops along the way. So there's a certain type of train that travels to a far city, and there are no stations along the way. Direct, straight to where you'd like to be. You can't board such a train unless your intention is to go to the end of the line. But there's an additional type of train that we're all familiar with, a different type of bus that one could travel upon. Its final destination is also that same location. But it stops off on many stops along the way, many stations along the way. About aboard such a train, someone who only wants to travel part of the way, you're invited to join such a train. Even if you're just going to the next stop. So too in Avodas Hashem, we have to view our Avodas Hashem like that second train. That Hashem is inviting you to board the train. As far as you want to go, of course you want to reach the end of the line. But Avodas Hashem Yisparach Yesh Chashivas L'chol Tachana Sha'adam Magia Ela. Of course, there's significance to every single stop that you travel along the train of the service of Hashem. Klomar, afshal adam lalechas madrega ach madrega. Even though, of course, the intention is that we're going to travel as far as we can. Ulishtad lagia el shlemus ve'ein sof ledavar sheyomar adam dai bezeh. And we should never be complacent and say, I've traveled far enough along the road of spirituality. Mikol makom I afshar lomar shezeh shehalach rak chelak min haderech. But God forbid to say about ourselves, if we've traveled part of the way, that it's as if we've done nothing at all, we've accomplished nothing. Just the opposite. Because every station that you travel, a little bit farther, again, another madrega, another step up the ladder, up the staircase, is something that Hashem invites you to do. Hashem does not only want passengers who are willing to travel, so to speak, to the end of the train. And the truth is, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, a mitzvah is a very lofty thing. To assume that any of us will have the ability to make it to the heights of what's expected of us is essentially an impossibility. And therefore, we could throw up our arms, we could give up from the start, we could say, why bother getting involved in something that's impossible to complete? Or we could say, lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, that no one asked you to finish the job. And at the same time, you're not allowed to be bottled from it. You have to try to the best of your ability. The Piazetzner Rebbe, who also was in the Holocaust, unfortunately lost his life to the hand of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wrote a lesser known work called the Derech HaMelech. And in Parshas Tolos, he gives a beautiful, beautiful mashal. This, to me, really captures the essence of what I'm trying to share with you today. If you'll remember anything, remember this mashal from the Piazetzner Rebbe, Rav Kolonimus Kalman Shapiro, Hashem Yinkom Damo, Hashem should avenge his blood. He writes that when it comes to, again, performing a mitzvah, who are we to assume that we can take it to the final destination? We should try, we should strive. But to assume that we're all going to be able to reach the heights of what's humanly possible, it's a very difficult thing. And he writes in source number 9, Ki kol mitzvah gavoi. A mitzvah is a very lofty thing. An opportunity to interact with the creator of the universe is a lofty thing. And it's impossible for a person, right? I mean, we don't even have such a train. That's a direct train. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, it's impossible for a Jew to reach any mitzvah in a single moment. When a person prepares himself for a mitzvah, every bit of the preparation, it's not just about getting to day 50, but when we count 1, 2, 3, 4, counting the days of Sfiras HaOmer, every bit of that hachana is not, again, it's not independent from what we're trying to achieve. It's part and parcel of what we're trying to achieve. And he gives a beautiful mashal. Look what he writes in the second line, in source number 9. Mashal lemisha ola lahar gavol. Imagine a mountain climber, trying to reach the top of a mountain. Ha'im rak b'shosh adim tzekvar al rosh ahar, nemar sha'Allah. What we say about a person who's climbed from the summit, he's climbed thousands of feet. What we say that if he hasn't reached the top of the mountain, then he hasn't risen, he hasn't climbed. Every step is a step up. That's the very nature of climbing a mountain. Think about where he's standing compared to those who are still standing at the bottom of that mountain, looking at this massive mountain, not sure what to do, where to begin, how to start. And then he says an amazing thing. He says, imagine, if your mountain, the mountain that you were climbing, let's say it was half the size of its actual size, right? You chose to climb Everest. Let's say you decided to climb a mountain that was half the size of Everest. So then you'd already be on the top of the mountain. So the fact that the mountain you chose to climb is twice the size, so therefore what? So therefore it's an insignificant accomplishment. Right? If it was a smaller mountain, you'd have made it to the top already. And that's how you should feel. To whatever degree you've climbed, you should feel, in a certain sense, of course I want to strive for more, but in a certain sense, I've reached a great thing. I've scaled to the heights of the mountain. Nimsashu kvar al-lahar. So you should view yourself as if I've made it to the top of the mountain. Raksha'ata yeshlo oda los lahar hasheni. It's as if it's a second mountain stacked on top of the first mountain. What a beautiful way to look at it. Instead of looking at it as this one massive mountain, look at it, this is mountain number one, and now I'm going to climb above that to mountain number two. And that's how we should look at everything that we do in Avodas Hashem. Kein kol ha'chanos sha'osa Yisrael l'mitzvah. Every step of preparation for a mitzvah. Asiyos v'aliyosin. They are accomplishments. They are growth. They are a step up. Raksha mitzvah od yoser gavah. And we should just feel that the mitzvah is a little bit bigger. And that's okay. But that doesn't take away from the accomplishment that I've achieved up to this point. V'shuv osa achanos v'chulo. And then I'll take that step to climb the next mountain. Ad sheyavo l'mitzvah. Until I'm able to actually come to that mitzvah. And again, to realize that no effort that a Jew makes is in vain. Even if we don't feel it, even if we don't realize what we've accomplished in a particular thing. You can't change your life in a moment. And sometimes we undergo a period of effort and we don't feel changed. Even by the efforts that we've very much worked on and focused on. We're very diligent. Amelim b'Torah. We tried to make a very sincere effort and we feel unchanged. But we shouldn't feel that our efforts are in vain. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Megillah that describes a person who declares, Yagati v'lo matzati. Excuse me. Yagati, I have worked. V'lo matzati. But I've not accomplished anything. I haven't found anything. So says the Gemara, Al ta'amin. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Vavim Rebbeis in source number 10. Rabbi Yitzchak says, if a person says to you, Yagati v'lo matzati, al ta'amin. A person says, I worked hard, but I didn't find anything. Al ta'amin, don't believe him. There are two ways to understand this Maimur Chazal. First, there's the more cynical approach that's found in the writings of the Kotzker Rebbe. And anyone who knows a little bit about Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotz, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh L'Vracha, he was a fiery personality, a very demanding Ish Emes, who always demanded more of himself and of his Talmidim. And therefore, as to be expected, how does the Kotzker understand this line? Yagati v'lo matzati. If you claim that you've worked and you haven't found anything, al ta'amein, do not believe that what? Do not believe that you worked. You haven't worked hard enough. Right? Work harder. That's the more cynical approach that the Kotzker Rebbe says. Don't believe that you've really worked. Because if you would have worked hard, you would have accomplished something. That's one approach, and there's some truth to that. Certainly some truth to the words of the holy Kotzker. But there's another approach which I think will resonate with us more. And that is, if a person works, v'lo matzati, and feels that they haven't found anything, they don't see any results from their efforts, al ta'amein, don't believe that your efforts were in vain. Don't believe that nothing happened. Okay, so you don't see it. You don't see how you've changed. It's very hard to see from day to day how we're changing, how we're growing, how we're developing. One of my friends once told me, he said he got off an airplane, and he saw this little kid say to his mother, he said, Mom, I don't understand. We were on that plane for so long, and we're back in the airport again. I didn't understand that. We left one airport, and now we're at a different airport. Right? And that's how we feel sometimes in life. We feel like I've been traveling for quite a bit of time, and I'm still in the same place that I started. Right? But that's a childish perspective. We don't see that we've traveled quite a great distance. And that's how the Sefer Chassidim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, explains this Maimer Chazal, right? Or alludes to this Maimer Chazal. Yagati v'lo matzati. If you made an effort and you don't feel you've accomplished, al tamin, don't believe that you haven't accomplished. Again, that example I gave you earlier of attending a shir and not really necessarily remembering anything, or doing a particular, avoda, whatever it is, an avodas Hashem, an act of chesed, and then a few days later it's forgotten as if it never was, says the Sefer Chassidim in source number 11, Im adam toreach ladas b'zal olam. If a person works to understand, you try to have an encounter with God in this world, and a person works, he's toreach ladas b'zal olam limudim. You try to understand something in this world. Afal pi she'ein lo lev ata, even though your heart right now, or your mind, often the word heart, in the writings of the Rishonim, refers to one's intellect, one's mind. Even though your mind and your heart is not able to internalize it at this time, yellow leiv mesifta derakia. That at the end of one's lifetime, you'll see. You'll be able to see in the mesifta derakia, in the heavenly academies, in the yeshiva shomala, you'll be able to see the efforts and what it accomplished in this world. And I think this can explain a very interesting minhag that we have on Shavuos. We know that on Shavuos we bring into our homes and into the shuls, many places have a minhag, that we place flowers, trees, things in the shuls, things in the house. There were some who questioned this minhag and were worried that it was perhaps based on non-Jewish practices. But this is the minhag that's brought. Many shuls have such a practice. The Ramah writes in source number 12, there's a minhag to spread out grasses, plants, maybe even trees in one's home and in the shul on Shavuos. Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. The same way that Har Sinai, right, miraculously, the Midrashim describe, produced all sorts of beautiful flowers in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. So to be beautify the shuls with trees, with flowers, with grasses, as if we're once again standing on Har Sinai. The Magid Avram, one of the major commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, gives a different explanation in source 13. He says, why do we bring trees into the shul, into our homes? He writes where it's bolded, V'nir Ali, Hatam Shias Kiru Shabbatzeres Nidonin Alperos Ha'ilam. To remind ourselves what the Mishnah tells us, that on Shavuos is one of the times that Hashem judges the world, specifically for Peros HaIlam. What are the fruits going to look like this coming year? So let's imagine we want to bring a tree into Shul for Shavuos. We spout the land, Magen Ram says, right? We should daven, that we should have success in our fruits. But the post can point out, the halachic authorities point out, what types of trees are you bringing into the Shul? Well, I can't cut down a fruit-bearing tree and bring it to the Shul, because that would be a prohibition of Baal Tashchis. That's wasteful. So clearly, the types of trees that I'm bringing into the shul, many people place flowers in the shul, or small shrubs, right? But if I want to bring a tree, I'm bringing a gesunta tree into shul on Shavuos, what type of tree am I bringing in? So the posts are very clear, you must be bringing in ilanei sarak, right? Barren trees, trees that cannot produce fruits. Why would I want to bring a barren tree into the shul on Shavuos? So I think the answer is as follows, and this is found in the writings of Rav Moshe Wolfson. He has a sefer called Emunas Yitecha, and many others bring a similar idea as well. It's also in this past week's parsha. What does it say right after Mechukosai Teilecha? What's the very next pasuk? Source 14. V'nasati gishmecha b'yitam v'nasna eretz yivula. Hashem says, if you do what's expected of you, I'll make it rain, and you'll have great success in your produce. V'eitz hasade yitain puria. And the trees of the field will produce fruits. Explains Rashi, Eitz HaSadeh, verse 15, Hein Ilanei Sarak. This refers to Ilanei Sarak, barren trees. Trees that are not able to produce fruit. V'asidin lasos peros. And in the future, these trees, there's a promise Hashem is making us, that in the times of Mashiach, lasid lavo, these trees that are not even able to bear fruit, will suddenly, miraculously bear fruit. So now, my friends, I think we understand, why is it that on Shavuos we bring a barren tree into the shul? We're reminding ourselves on Shavuos, as much as it's about the fruit, as much as we'd like to see the fruits of our labor, we're reminding ourselves that guess what? The efforts that we've made now, even if we don't see anything, eventually we'll be zochet to see. Shavuos, according to the Zohar, is the time when Mashiach is in fact going to come. And that's why we read the story of Rus, the birth of David HaMelech, right? The unfolding of Mashiach. Even though right now you don't have the eyes to see how our efforts are advancing the Gula, even though you don't have the eyes to see how the Yegia is in fact leading to a Metzia, right? Al Tamein, don't believe that your efforts are in vain. Believe that the process is very significant, that the train stops along the way of life are being counted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And eventually, maybe not now, but eventually, we'll have the eyes to see. And when we know this, we become so much less frustrated. Right? Some of the frustration we have in our Avodah Hashem is, again, because I don't see the results. Says the Chafetz Chaim, again, going back, Anu amelim u'makapim schar. The amel is the effort is what Hashem's looking for. It's nice, it's very nice when we see the results. But Hashem wants to see that we're trying our best. Hashem wants us to believe that we're engaging in the process, that we're boarding the train and beginning to travel towards Him in Avodas Hashem. In the Ruach Chaim, on Pirkei Avos, the writings of Rav Chaim of Elazner, the prime disciple of the Vilna Gaon, he reminds us as well of the concept that mitoch shelo lishma balishma. There's a very real Talmudic principle that a person shouldn't say, well, I'm only going to do this if I can do it in a perfected way. Mitoch shelo lishma. If you do it lo lishma, if you do it with ulterior motives, not necessarily with the purest of motives, eventually, by engaging in the process, you'll come to lishma. You'll come to do it l'shem shamai. Says Rav Chaim Balashner, source 16, ki yi'efshar lavo l'madregas lishma, im lo shiyatchila shelo lishma. He says, not only is this a suggestion, a good way to begin the process, he says it's impossible. It's impossible to wake up one day and say, I'm going to do something lishma. I have to be willing to jump in, to give it a shot. It's it's impossible to come to the madrega of lishma, to serve God wholeheartedly, if I don't begin the process shalom lishma. And he gives the mashal that we sort of alluded to earlier. Aderech mashal lemelech, shetziv la'avdo shiyala l'aliyah. Imagine, a king, The King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, commands his servant to climb a ladder. Fetch something for me off a high shelf. Ein svara ba'olam. No one would expect that the king should be disappointed, would be angered at his servant. The king sees that he's climbing up the steps of the ladder, the rungs of the ladder. Is the king going to say, excuse me, what's with the lackadaisical service here? Right? What did you want me to do? To jump from the floor to this aliyah? The king would never have the right to be upset at his servant. If he sees that the servant has climbed halfway up the steps and then sat down and took out his phone and started checking his email, then the king might have something to say. But if he sees that he's making an effort, one step, one rung at a time, the king has no reason to be upset. Shouldn't feel slighted. Ki I efshar lalos below madrego sasulam. Because it's simply not possible to get there without those rungs along the way. Va'nimshol muvan. And the nimshol, right, the takeaway from this parable is quite obvious. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out very, very astutely. He says, what do Chazal say? Le'olam. Le'olam. You should always begin the process with lo lishma. Why le'olam? Maybe I'll have a moment where I can just jump to lishma. He says, no, it's not going to happen. La'olam, this is the reality. V'ramzu v'metek l'shonam chazal, with a very precise language expressed b'milas la'olam, haynu b'kviyas tamid. This is how it is. This is the reality of a created being, of a human being in this world, that the only way to get there is to begin climbing. And the king is not upset at you. Hashem is not frustrated. If we take steps, as long as we're taking steps, as long as we're boarding that train, and as long as we're engaging in that process. I think that perhaps in Parshas Ekev, in the some of the opening psukim of the 8th parak, we find exactly this message as well. And that is, on the one hand, we have to be focused on the big picture. The Shachiyanu that we're going to recite when we get there, when we accomplish that arrival at the final destination, at Kabbalah Satorah. And at the same time, appreciate the process. Appreciate the means, not only the ends. In Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us, Kol ha-mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom tishmur lasos. On the one hand, Kol ha-mitzvah. The goal is everything. The goal is to accomplish everything humanly possible. To guard all of the mitzvahs that Hashem expects us to do. And yet, what does the very next pasuk say? Well, on the one hand, we have to dream big. We should have kind of the big picture mapped out in front of us. But says the Torah, Zacharta es kol haderech. But remember the road. Remember the way that you got there. Remember the way it takes to get there. And don't be frustrated by the process. Don't allow the process to be a source of frustration for you. And that's, again, what's being expressed by counting up. By counting down, it would be expressing, we just want to get there. Counting up means, I'm okay with every step along the way. I understand how one leads into two, leads into three, leads into four. And it doesn't frustrate me at all. Because each day is another opportunity to change myself, to better myself, and to be more worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. Yes, please.
I'm just wondering, like, if you miss a day of counting, so you can't make the bracha anymore.
Right.
So it's almost as if...
Right, interesting.
It's not...
Interesting. I mean, why should, according to what we're saying, that every day is its own opportunity, and we should appreciate each step along the way, why should it be that if a person misses an entire day, then you're disqualified from counting with a bracha? Anyone?
There's a hole in the process.
What did you say?
There's a hole in the process.
There's a hole in the process.
But you still have to count.
Right. So that's what I was thinking as well. Even though we've lost the bracha, and in that sense, you know, that will kind of encourage us and push us to make sure we don't miss a step along the way, right? But we are still encouraged to be a part of it. We're not entirely disqualified. We're not to say that you're no longer eligible to count. Yes.
But I think also you have to realize you're still not that person who did do it every day. You know, you have to just acknowledge that yes, I can pick up. That guy who did it for all 50 days is still that guy who did it for all 50 days. And you're not going to be that process because you skipped one of those pieces along the way. So although you won't lose the other 38 or 39 days that you did with the bracha, you're still not...
Right. And we wouldn't look back at those earlier days and say it was...
It's important to know that. Like sometimes you say, oh, that's okay. Like it's still perfect. It's not. It's almost perfect.
Right.
But it's not perfect.
Right.
And next year we're given another opportunity. And hopefully next year we can do it to perfection.
Right.
But it's okay to acknowledge I didn't.
Right. And there's...
But we should also still feel really good about
that. Absolutely. That you made it to the top of the shorter mountain.
Right. You made it to the top of the shorter mountain. Well said. But I am. Thank you for backing me up on that one. Oh, it's a good question. It's a very good question. It is a very good question. There is this notion of the pasuk of Tmimos, that there's a sense of completion. There's something very wholesome that we're trying to create, this unit of time. And again, yeah, I guess the hope is that, you know, by disqualifying ourselves partially, we can try again next year. We can hope for a little bit better in our service of Hashem. I think it's a good answer. Okay. Let's look at the story of Yaakov in the home of Laban. Yaakov in the home of Laban, of course, is one of the most painful sections of Bereishis to read. I mean, poor Yaakov, innocent Yaakov, the Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. Yaakov Avinu just wants to sit and learn and just wants to serve God. And now he's chased from his parents' home. Right? He has Esav on the one hand hunting him down, and he ends up in the home of Laban. He's looking for a shidduch, and this trickster Laban, who's constantly criticizing Yaakov as if Yaakov is pulling a fast one on him, this charlatan Laban, right, taking advantage of him time and time again, and he's seeking Rachel's hand in marriage. And next thing you know, of course, the wicked Laban gives him Leah, and Yaakov doesn't give up. He still sets his eyes on Rachel because he loves Rachel very much. And the Torah tells us in Source 18, this is in Parshas Vayetze, Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel, Vayomer e'evadcha sheva shanim b'rachel bitcha katana. I'm not giving up so fast, Laban. I'm prepared to work another 7 years to have Rachel's hand in marriage. Vayomer Laban, Tov titio salach, mititio sal yishacher. I'd rather give her to you than anyone else. Great, shva imadi. So Yaakov began the process of working for Rachel, and the Torah tells us, "V'yu be'enav kiyamim achadim ba'avaso osa," and that period of time passed so quickly because he loved Rachel so much. Now, part of us psychologically would say just the opposite. If he loves her so much, if he's so pained by his separation from Rachel, wouldn't you think that the days would be very slow, that the days would be very painful? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus, in his writings, both on the Parsha and also in his volume, Nesichos, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, in his writings on Pesach and Sfiras Omer and Shavuos, in the Sichos, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, so he brings the following explanation from Rav Aaron Cutler. He says, imagine two individuals. One is promised that in 100 days from now, he will be awarded $1 million. So every day, in anticipation of that great gift that's awaiting him, is a source of great frustration. It's an impediment. It's an obstacle to achieving that great gift that's waiting for him. A second person is promised also $1 million. But he's told that over the next 100 days, he'll have an opportunity to make $10,000 a day. So that person understands that every single day is an opportunity to add towards my $1 million. And he doesn't see each day as a burden. Each day he feels that he's being rewarded, that there's something to be gained from each passing day. Until he comes to the 100 when he has that same $1 million as a fellow who is sort of waiting for that 100th day to arrive. Says Rav Pinkus, explaining the teaching from Rav Aaron Cutler, he says Yaakov was like that second person. See, for Yaakov, that time period that was divinely ordained that he would have to wait, as much as Laban was the Russia who was manipulating him down below, but Hashem, for whatever reason, said Yaakov has to undergo this test, this challenge. But Yaakov saw that as a period of time to refine himself, to better himself, that every day I can become a better Yaakov Avinu, to eventually marry Rachel, and to build the Jewish people, and he cherished those days. He didn't see it as a source of frustration. So yes, he loved Rachel so much, he appreciated the opportunity to marry Rachel so much, that he saw, wow, Hashem is giving me an opportunity to be a little bit more ready, to be a little bit more prepared before I marry Rachel, and to continue the process of building up the 12 Shvatim. And Rav Pinkus says that's exactly, he ties this pasuk directly into our question that we began with. He says that's exactly why we count up. By counting up, we're saying to Hashem, we're not frustrated. We appreciate. Yes, of course, like the Bnei Yisrael told us, we want to just get there. But we're very thankful to Hashem that He gives us a process, that He allows us to undergo this, you know, this very necessary healing process of working on our various midos of chesed, of gvura, of teferes, netzach, hod, yisod, malchus, 7 weeks, refining ourselves to be that much better when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah. I want to share just two other ideas that I think are also related to this upward count. And that is, if we were counting down, what would happen when we got to zero? When we got to zero, we would feel that we're there, we're ready. We've perfected ourselves. We've done all that we can, all that's humanly possible. There's nothing more to count. By counting up, perhaps what we're suggesting is that as much as at some point I have to stop counting, at some point I have to actually get there and be makabel the Torah, but in theory, I could continue counting. In theory, I can count 50, and 51, and 52, and 53. And in that way, Hashem is saying, as much as we prepare ourselves, and at some point, again, we have that encounter with God, or Makabel the Torah, but Hashem wants us to know that the work of a Jew is never done. That there's no point where I run out of numbers to count. That there's nothing more to do. There's nothing new for me to accomplish. And I think one of the most destructive traits for one's avodas Hashem is that spirit of complacency. That I've reached where I want to reach. I've traveled as far as I feel comfortable along the train. But to challenge ourselves on Shavuos, when we get to day 49, and now we come to day 50, and we stop counting, but to know that in theory, you know what, there's more I could do. And with that spirit, we come to Kabbalah and the Torah. Even though we got the Torah last year, and we got it the year before, and I kind of know what the Torah has to offer me, but I'm going to see it with fresh eyes. And I'm going to challenge myself to find something new, to continue to grow. I was thinking just this past year, at the Pesach Seder, perhaps that's what we're hinting to, in the piyut of V'hisha Amda. What do we say in V'hisha Amda? In V'hisha Amda we say, El Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. V'hisha Amda, L'Avoseinu V'Lano. What has stood by our side? Hashem and His Torah has stood by our side to protect us. Shelo Echad Bilvad Amar Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. Not only once in Jewish history have we encountered an enemy who seeks to destroy us, Ela Shebechol Dor V'Dor, in each and every generation, Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. They stand opposed to the Jewish people to try to destroy us. Ba'kadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Mi'adam. Thank you, I'm good. And Hashem, thank you very much. And Hashem comes and He saves us from their hands. There's a pasuk in Zechariah that says, what separates man from an angel? What makes man different than an angel? The pasuk says that a malach is described as an omed. Meaning, a malach has a very specific mission. He knows what his mission is. And that's it. A malach achieves its mission. There's nothing more to do. It's not a question of better or worse. The malach has his mission. He's a shliach. The word malach means, in fact, shliach, a messenger. And he does his job. There's no growth. Right? The malachim are described in the Navi as regel yeshara, as having a straight leg. There are no knees. You can't bend and you can't jump higher. A malach has a very specific mission. A person, on the other hand, the Navi Zechariah describes as a holich. Menasati lecha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'elam. A person is a holich. A person who's moving, who's walking forward. Im b'chukosai telechu. To try to move forward. I think perhaps what we're hinting to in this beautiful, well-known tefillah, V'hisha Amda, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. What's the most destructive trait? What could stop us more than anything else? If the world tells us, Omdim, Omdim Aleinu, if they ingrain within us a spirit of Omdim, of standing still, of complacency. You know, there was a great Rav who used to say that America is an Eretz Lo Zeruah. What do you mean, right? The Pasuk says, Be'eretz Lo Zeruah. Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Says that Zacharti Lachesed Nuraich, right? Lechtech Achar B'Midbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah. So there was a Rav, Rav Schmidman was his name, and it was a Rav in America years ago, and he used to say that America is an Eretz Lo Zeruah. It's a place where Lo, where No, is ingrained, where negativity is ingrained, right? Where you're told you're not going to be, you know, you can read about celebrities in People Magazine, right? But you're not going to become one of them. You're not going to become one of those great individuals. It's a place where, you know, the American dream is a very simplistic kind of notion. It's a wholesome thing. It's a wholesome thing, but there's no she'ifa, there's no longing for greatness, right? We're told the notion of the average Joe, right? It's an Eretz Lo Zeruah. Don't set your eyes on anything too high. Right? Be an omid, be complacent, be happy with your lot in life, and just kind of stand in your place. But that could be destructive to a person. Omdim aleinu, yes, to appreciate where I'm standing, right? But not to become stuck in that place. Omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu is that often the nations of the world try to hold back the Jewish people. They try to take us from being mahalchim, the most impactful people who ever was, in every aspect of humanity, and they try to bring us to a position of omdim. And therefore on Shavuos, by counting up, we say there's always more to do. We could, in theory, count on forever. Of course, at some point, we have to stop counting. But we remind ourselves that the work of a Jew is, in fact, never done. And last but not least, perhaps a third and final lesson that we can take from the upwards count of Sfiras HaOmer is something that's found in a beautiful medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah in source number 20. And that is, sometimes, again, in life, when we're working on something, we feel frustrated by the fact that the little efforts aren't adding up to much. Sfira tells us just the opposite. If you count tonight, and you count tomorrow night, and you count the next night, and you count the next night, you come to the greatest moment of world history, which is Kabbalah Satorah. And Hashem wants us to realize that little efforts actually can add up to something significant. And don't think that it's going to take a massive and major earth-shattering event in order to actually change one's life. The little accomplishments can add up to a very sizable accomplishment. Medrash and Shir HaShirim says on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ramos le'avil chachmos, that for a wicked person, for a foolish person, Chachmos, wisdom, is out of reach. So it gives the following mashal. Rabbi Yonai gave the following mashal. Imagine, he says, a kikar nakuv shetoli ba'aviro shel bayis. Imagine you walk into a room with a tall ceiling, and you see a very delicious fresh loaf of bread suspended from the ceiling. Right? Completely out of reach. Hatipesh omer, mi yachol lahorid l'zeh. A foolish person says, it looks delicious, I would love to have a slice of that fresh baked bread, right, or that Danish, but it's out of reach. And it's not possible, it's not humanly possible to bring it down. Vapikeach omer, but the wise person says, mi yachol lilmar Torah, sorry, I skipped the line. Vapikeach omer, v'lo acher talo. The wise person says, but wait a minute, how did it get there? Right? Clearly, someone put it there. Someone must have suspended it from the roof. El hareini, maybe shnei kanim. Let me go get two bamboo poles for my sukkah. Umechabrin zeh bezeh. Right, and like a pinata, I'll keep smacking out the Danish until I knock it down. Adjani morito. I'll take a chair. I'll take a box. I'll find a way to get it down because it wasn't always there. It's clear that someone put it there, so I'll find a way to bring it down as well. So too says the Medrash. Kach tipesh omer. The foolish person says, mi yachol lilmod Torah shebelev rabbi. How am I ever going to be able to study Torah like the great ones who study Torah? How am I going to be able to understand the wisdom of God and understand His Torah? Vapikeach omer, the pikeach says, wait a minute. If Hashem came down once upon a time on our Sinai to present the Torah to the Jewish people, it means that God believes it's possible for us to learn His Torah. And therefore the wise person says, v'hu lo me'achar lamda, but the person who I look up to, my Rebbe, he must have learned it from someone. He wasn't always this great Torah scholar. Wasn't always this spiritually refined individual. Harini lo mein hayom shtei halachos. So I'll pick up a book and I'll start to learn. And I'll read one Dvar Torah today. Shtei halachos. Two little halachos today. Vishtayim lamachar. I'll get on an email list that sends to my inbox on a daily basis a short little idea, and I'll begin the process. And I won't be overwhelmed by the endless quantities of Torah that exist in the world. Until I, in fact, become amongst one of those great and wise people who achieves greatness in Torah. It's those little efforts, it's that willingness to begin, again, to board that train, and to know that two halachos today and two halachos tomorrow can change a person's life. The Chazon Ish, who was a very sickly individual his entire life, and was one of the greatest Torah scholars of the previous dor, it's brought in one of the Hebrew biographies of the Chazon Ish in the final source, in source 21, in the Maisa Ish. It brings a beautiful, beautiful story of the Chazon Ish, a short story. The Chazon Ish once was very not well. There were many times, unfortunately, in his life that was true. Pam la'achar sha'avar machla lo aleinu. One time the Chazon Ish was recovering from a difficult illness. Lo hayachol leilich haragil. He wasn't able to walk. Omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. His illness was holding him back. He wasn't able to walk about as was common, as was normal. V'halach li'ito ad she'egil l'makomo. And yet with great diligence, with great strength of character, and of challenging his body, his very frail body, he walked li'ito very slowly until he reached the place that he was trying to get to. And it wasn't a great distance, but he got there. And he said to the person who was with him with a huge smile on his face, V'amar, holchim la'atlat. It's true, I go very slowly. But in the end, I get there. And the Chazon Ish wasn't scared to take that first step, knowing that it would be a difficult process. But he knows that whether it's quickly or more slowly, eventually a person who engages the process will in fact get there. And had I stayed in my first place, had I never boarded the train, I never would have reached such a place. I believe that the little efforts, in fact, can add up to a lot. I was thinking just two years ago on Shavuos. That, you know, many people, many Jews throughout the generations would recite the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. What's the Tikkun Leil Shavuos? Tikkun Leil Shavuos is an arrangement of a little bit of psukim, mishnayos, a piece of the Zohar, a piece of Gemara, a passage here, a passage there. Right? It's a funny thing that Tikkun Leil. Many people just go to Shiurim and learn whatever they choose to learn. But traditionally, there are many Jews who recited this text that had been prepared called the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. This Tikkun that we're achieving, this great fixing that we're trying to do on Shavuos, what's it made up of? A little of this, a little of that. It's not even like a lot of anything. It's a couple of psukim, it's a couple of this. What's the message? Because that's what Shavuos is about. That those little efforts, a couple of psukim, and a couple of lachos, and a little piece of passage of Zohar, and a little medrash, and a little this, and a little that. In the end, it adds up to a big tikkun. It causes a great fixing in the heavens. We have to believe in such a thing. So Mirtz Hashem should help us to appreciate the process, to value the means, and not only the ends, and to realize our second lesson that a Jew's work is never done. That in theory we could keep counting forever. And lastly, to appreciate that the little efforts actually can add up to something. That two halachos today and two halachos tomorrow can add up to something very great. And if we internalize these messages, not only for the last few days of Sfira, not only for Shavuos, but if we inculcate it into our lives, Amir Tashem will be zochet to be makabel the Torah ba'ava and to live lives meaningful of the Hashem. Thank you very much. Everyone should have a wonderful day.